like some kind of pizza ninja? Domino's are slicing their prices. Domino's Price Slice. Small pizzas now 8 quid, medium now 10 quid, and large now 12 quid. Yep, we're making cuts too. Domino. End 11th of February 24. Minimum delivery spend, charges and areas may apply. T's and C's, see domino's.co.uk.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
3 minutes after 12 is the time. Nick's been in touch. He says, I think I heard about this recently, James. I'm fairly sure the answer is Viagra, but I know I'd find it very hard to take that every day. Thank you, Nick. Badum tish. You're right. The answer is that Viagra, reportedly, may help stave off Alzheimer's by a factor of about 18%. And there's an awful lot of self-appointed comedians out there today. I can tell you, Keith beat you to this gag by nanoseconds, but Ian in Bournemouth says, that's a hard one, James. Good. I don't know what the answer is. My personal favourite is, good luck running a double blind test on that one, says David in London. Ah, so that wasn't the placebo then. All right, work it out. 4 minutes after 12 is the time. Mystery Hour is upon us. Your weekly opportunity to achieve the sort of satisfaction... God, it's like a carry-on film at the moment, this programme. The sort of satisfaction not ordinarily available anywhere else on your radio dial. It's fairly straightforward, and these days, of course, there is a glorious prize. And the prize is a year's supply of... No, the prize is a brand spanking new Mystery Hour board game. There's a booster pack coming later in the year. Loads of people who asked me. And actually, I was reminded last weekend, at my gig in Wolverhampton, that you can play the game without the board. You can play the game just with the cards. Quite a lot of people do that. As the cards have got... that's a fairly straightforward explanation. You don't actually need to use the board to keep the score. You can just tally up the cards like you would in a game of Cheat or something like that, or a game of Uno, actually. Anyway. If you make my favourite contribution of the day, you will win a Mystery Hour board game. The full terms and conditions for that are at lbc.co.uk. And if you want to find out more about the Mystery Hour board game, go to mysteryhour.co.uk. The way it works is this. If you're new to this, you're in for a bit of a treat. It may sound a little ordinary, but... I told you, didn't I? I was speaking to students yesterday from the Global Academy, which is one of the fantastic initiatives run by the people that also run this radio station. Something very, almost feel like a vampire in a room full of enthusiastic and inquisitive young children. It's like you're sort of feeding on their energy. Really impressive young people, and their teacher Catherine was superb as well. But one of them was a big fan of Mystery Hour, and it occurred to me after the session that he may not have been born when we did the first Mystery Hour. That really stopped me in my tracks, actually. And of course, it may well apply to you as well. You may have been here since the beginning. And I was speaking to a lad yesterday who I don't think would have been born when we... But anyway, we digress. People ring in with questions, other people ring in with answers. That's it. But trust me, it's a lot more fun than that sounds. Ben's in Wickford. Ben, question or answer?
I have a question for you, please, James.
Carry on.
What were electric eels called before electricity was discovered? Because surely they existed, but we weren't aware of electricity till what? Was it Benjamin Franklin? I don't know. Might have been.
Benjamin Franklin?
At least a couple of hundred years ago. Electric eels must have been around for thousands of years. Were they called?
Is this a proper mystery? I mean, there'd be millions of... There's loads of stuff that doesn't have a name. It was only really sort of taxonomy and Darwin, very sort of 18th, 19th century enthusiasm to start making lists of things and giving them all names. You'd still have known that it was stunning things.
So it wouldn't have been called an eel. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think it would have been called anything. I mean, first of all, I think it's South American anyway, so it probably isn't even called an eel in South America. Do you see what I mean?
Egyptian.
You thought it was what?
I thought electric eels were in the Nile.
Oh, but they might be, but it's a freshwater South American fish, the electric eel, what we call an electric eel. Electrophorus.
That sounds made up.
Definitely not. Electrophorus fissius is the technical term. Electrophorus is correct, actually. So what would it have been called
Well, did it have a name?
What was a conger eel called before we discovered the conger?
But if you touched a conger eel, it's not going to do something to you that surely people had no awareness of.
But what came first? The conger eel is named the conger eel because they follow each other around the sea.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. There you go. Every day for school day.
So what came first? The dance, the conger, or the name the conger eel? Because it does the conger through the sea.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point.
Do the conga. You can do it too.
That's not how I was expecting this to go. I'm not going to lie.
That's not, I can't send you out into the world thinking that's true, Ben. That's not where the conga eel got its name.
Oh, God, now, see, you pulled the words my heart towards it. Surely the electric eel was known as something before it was the electric eel.
I think you're probably right. But if anyone knows, I shall give you the money myself. We shouldn't have corrected that, should we, mate? We should have just let that go and then waited. We'd be sitting somewhere with someone and say, do you know how the conger eel got its name? And someone would say, yeah, just because all the conger eel follow each other around the sea.
I was going to go home and tell my wife that. That would have been embarrassing.
By tea time, it would be halfway around
the
world.
That would be viral. Exactly. That would be all over Twitter.
What if it is true? What if I've just made it up, but it is actually the real reason why I call? No one's going to know whether we're coming or going. It'll be like watching Fox News.
There must be a fish person.
There must be a fish person.
Who listens to your show that knows the answer to the conger eel and the electric eel.
No, he can only answer the electric eel. I thank you for that. But I'd be amazed if anyone does, or indeed if there is an answer to it. I don't know. We shall find out. 9 minutes after 12 is the time. Mark's in Bromley. Mark, question or answer?
Question, James.
Carry on, mate.
Okay. I've reached an age now where a lot of my friends are having various bits of ironmongery added to their bodies, such as hip replacements and gold teeth and things like that. What I want to know is, when they sadly pass on and they're cremated, what happens to those various bits of metal that will undoubtedly be left in the crematorium?
It's a bit morbid, isn't it?
It's very, very morbid indeed, but it's been troubling me.
Yeah, I can see why. I can see why.
Particularly the gold teeth.
Well, yeah.
There's got to be someone's making a quid.
Times are hard, are they, Mark?
Well, not that. I'm not that desperate yet.
I mean, crikey. I've got a vague something. I think someone told me they'd kept a knee or a hip. I could be completely making it up.
You could probably electrocute them, but yeah. What happens is they just gather. Do they end up in someone's urn on a mantelpiece somewhere?
You wouldn't,
and
you wouldn't be able to fit a hip in an urn, would you?
It's quite a big bit of kit. That could be another question.
What happens to the stuff that doesn't burn?
The stuff that doesn't burn.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. I mean, crikey, it's all human life and indeed water life. What's the phrase? Sea water, water life, marine life, all marine life, all human life and indeed all marine life is here today. Thank you. I thought so too. Peter's in Wigan. Peter, question or answer?
It's a question.
Carry on.
Why are the numbers on a dartboard in the order that they're in? And who decided that?
It is actually quite a careful calculation about the highest number has... The 1 is next to the 20, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is the 2 next to the 19?
I don't think it is.
What's it next to?
I think it's closer to the 3.
The 19's next to the 3. The 2 is next to the 17. I'm not going to get this right, I don't think. But it is to make it... If the higher the one you're going for, the less... If you miss by a bit, the lower the score will be. Do you see what I mean? So if you're going for 18, it's going to be 1 and 4, isn't it, on either side? So by the time you get down to something like 14, there's not any really low numbers left. So 14 sits between 11 and 8 or 11 and 9. I can't quite see the board in my mind's eye. So that's the answer, broadly speaking, but that's not the mathematical equation you're looking for, is it?
No.
All right, mate. You could have said yes.
Yeah.
So 17 and 19 for the 3, that kind of proves my point. The 3, so you miss the 3. If you're aiming for the 3, you're going to hit a big one. And if you're aiming for a big one, you're going to hit a small one. But I don't know how they finally calculated. I shall find out for you, Peter.
Okay.
It might be in the board game, that one. I'm sure it's come up before, but if I can't remember the answer, then it never happened. 12-12 is the time. Simon's in Southampton. Simon, question or answer?
Question, please.
Carry on.
If the source of a river is a trickle, like a spring, and the mouth of the river where it joins the sea is, like, massive, where does all the water come from? Because surely, well, because a trickle is not providing that volume of water, is it?
Well, it depends. If it never ends.
True. But
it's a never-ending
trickle.
It's
always running, isn't it?
Never-ending trickle.
But it's always running, isn't it?
Yeah, but the trickle creates a channel through erosion.
Yep. So you need more water to fill it. So where's the water coming from?
The sky, mate. The sky.
Well, you could be right.
I am right, because water will always find its way to the lowest point, won't it? It will always cut, and it will cut a channel there, and into that lowest point, all the rainwater will, where once it may have just sort of absorbed blanket-like into the earth, now it's concentrated into a channel, and then it starts expanding again, and the river gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah, but you only notice that when it's like a massive storm.
But where else would the water come from? If I'm wrong, where else would the water come from? To which you
think of a hose pipe.
I am.
James.
I often am.
Right. If you start running a hose pipe at the top of a hill, when that water gets to the bottom of the hill, providing you run the hose constantly, you're going to have exactly the same volume of water at the bottom as you do at the top.
Yeah.
Right. So at some point, there has to be other sources or other.
Well, there is the bloody sky.
All the rain.
All the water in that area. All the other rivers. They're all heading down to the bottomest river.
Okay.
The lowest water course will be the biggest. Think of all the tributaries of the Thames, the Brent, and all the other ones.
Yeah. All right. I kind of get what you're saying.
I'm not taking a round of applause. I'm not having an unsatisfied customer.
Thank you, James.
No, you're very welcome, Simon. The source, where does all the other water come from if it doesn't? What, you mentioned hose pipes. Come back a minute. You told me to think of a hose pipe. Is he gone? He's gone. Don't worry. Don't ring him back. It's not that good. I've got one of those hose pipes on the rotor. You know, the ones that Simon, you told me to think of a hose pipe. I can't get it out of my head now. The thing goes, and I've had builders in, right? And they borrowed my hose pipe. And what they've done, they've detached the... I've got to explain this right. You know the thing? What's it called, the thing? No, not the hose pipe, Keith. The thing that you wrap it around. It's like it's got on a thing. It's a thing. Like a spool. A spool's a good word. Like a big spool. You know the ones I mean? So you can roll it in when it's finished, like that. But the spool has another hose coming out of it, doesn't it? So the spool goes to the tap. And then inside the spool, there is another passage or of water which goes into the hose. And they've detached the hose from the spool so that they could just use it without the spool. I don't know why. I wish they'd asked. And I can't get it back on for love or money. It's like I need to have tiny, tiny little hands. I need to borrow Donald Trump to fix my hose pipe. I cannot get... Is there a knack to it? This is not the best mystery hour question you're ever going to hear, but it's my show and my rules. Is that what do you do if you can't get your hose attached to your spool again after a builder has removed it and tried to cover up the fact by re-spooling the hose so that when I turned the hose on the other day, it just went everywhere from the thing? I like to think the pictures are better on the radio, but I acknowledge there are exceptions to that rule.
Much like you, I've got a lot to complain about. Like open-toe sandals. Who thought that was a good idea? Who wants to look at toes? Adults who drink squash. Listen, you're a fully grown person. But I just got my Sky broadband and I've got no complaints.
Once again, Sky had the lowest number of complaints made to Ofcom for fixed line broadband. To find out more, visit ofcom.org.uk. We're happy because you're happy.
Oh, hang on, though. Noisy eaters. They're annoying.
Sky. Believe in better.
Oh, February. What a tough month. It's probably time to cut back, right? Wrong. It's time to go bigger. It's time for Subway. Grab life with both hands like a mouth-watering, freshly made footlong. Take a big bite and lunch like you mean it. And now you can get a footlong for even less. Download the Subway app and get any footlong you like for only $4.99. Subway. Eat fresh. Valid until February 20th, 2024. In-store only. Participation may vary. Extras cost more. Full T's and C's apply.
20 after 12 is the time. Mystery hour is upon us. What was an electric eel called before we discovered electricity? I don't write the questions. I just ask them. What happens to the things that don't burn after a cremation? Why is the dartboard arranged as it is numerically? There's a Ray Liotta waiting there for Luke Littler if he rings in. And I think this is obvious, Simon, but it's there now. Where does all the water in a river come from, given that the source of the river is usually just a tiny little spring or something? That's an odd one. I haven't even noticed it today. James writes, Howard in Hever, I love you. I listen to your show every day and I've read all of your books. But your indigestion today is really disturbing. Is that a typo? I haven't been gurgling, have I, Keith, more than usual today? Have you noticed? I've got a new smoothie on the go. I've made a new smoothie, got some kefir in it. But I haven't. Have you noticed any gurgling today? I don't think it's been any worse than usual, Howard. But it might be your radio. You might need to adjust your radio, mate. Or your headphones might have a bit of water in the speaker or something. Ian's on the Isle of Dogs. Although it says here, the Isle of Dog.
No, it is the Isle of Dogs, I'm told.
It's definitely plural. Unless there's been some sort of Brexit down there and it's now the Isle of Dog. I don't know. What question or answer, Ian?
It's an answer, James.
Carry on, sir.
What happens to metal when you're cremated?
Yes.
You are cremated. You come out of the cremator as a large husk, which then goes into a machine called, from memory, the cremulator, which rolls you around, breaks you down into the ashes.
Okay.
They then run a magnet across said ashes and remove all the bits of metal, which then go to metal reclaimers and melted down and reused.
Good Lord.
Unless you ticked a box when you're arranging a funeral which says you want these things back, in which case you'll have them back.
Qualifications?
Used to work as a funeral director.
And how often did people request to have the things like a metal hip returned?
In the year, I did it during the pandemic, and yeah. I never had anyone wanted them back.
Right, so there it is, and then it just goes to a metal reclamation plant.
Melted down, reused, and it goes into the next lucky recipient.
Well, you live and learn. Round of applause for Ian.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much. And we've corrected your record there to reflect the fact that the Isle of Dogs is definitely plural. James is in Chetnoll in Dorset. James, question or answer?
Question.
Carry on.
Okay, when you light a bonfire, I know ecologically you're not meant to do that now, but sometimes you have to burn some bits of wood. And
yes, of course.
But yeah, even on a still day, the smoke always seems to follow you around when you're stoking it. And I'm not, are you going to shoot me down in flames?
Get it?
I just wondered whether there was an answer to that.
Are you sure? I mean, isn't it just very smoky generally? It's not specifically following you around, is it?
I talk to friends about it, and they go, yeah, it always seems to follow you around. It's just, I wonder whether there was a scientific
You're not capable of standing anywhere else except where you're standing. So if you were standing anywhere else that was equally near to the fire, you would be just as smoky. But you think that it's just where you are because it's the only place in which you're standing, surely?
No, because you can see the plume of smoke coming towards you. Well, it is with me.
No, you can't.
Honestly, it's really weird.
Well, like you're a smoke magnet.
It's just when you're stoking it and there's smoke coming out, you know, it's smouldering.
It comes towards you.
It always seems to come towards you. Even when if you walk round it, it just seems to come towards you. And I know what you're saying, that it could be all round it, but it's not all round it.
You say that.
I know, that's my experience.
All right, well, I mean, first of all, the parameters of the question need to be true, but if they are...
Okay.
The question is not, why does smoke get in your eyes? The question is, why does smoke follow you around a bonfire after you've lit it?
Yeah, I know that. I've been agonising about asking you this for about two months because I thought...
I'm glad you did.
It's such a stupid question.
What if it's not, eh? How good are you going to feel?
I know.
You're going to feel fantastic, and I'm going to be the one with egg on my face or smoke in my eyes. Thank you, James. If you know the answer to that, you know what to do. Roy's in Honiton. Roy, question or answer?
It's a question, James. How are you doing today?
Very well.
The question is, I just recently come back from visiting my son in the States.
Oh, yeah. Whereabouts?
I realised that in Tampa, in Florida.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, well, it was lovely. It was a beautiful time. I realise that all the denominations over there, from 1 to 100, money-wise, are all the same size.
Yes.
So my question is, how do blind people know what they're paying with and what the amounts are? I did shut my eyes and have a little play with the notes, but did it make any difference?
Yeah. I think, and I don't think I'll take the answer for this, I think that it is simply a question of ordering them with the help of a sighted person so that you know in your pocket what's at the front and what's at the back of the money clip. I've got a feeling that some countries may have small indentations on that. I don't know why. I've got a feeling the Indian rupee may have small indentations on it, but our banknotes don't, and American banknotes certainly don't. But I think it's a slightly odd answer, but in a way, once you've eliminated the impossible, whatever you are left with, however unlikely, must be the truth. I think people just rely on the goodwill of whoever it is that they're transacting with, and also the help of people who... I'll put it on the board.
Okay.
Because I think there's a little bit more to it with the new tenor. I think we've had this before, but you can tell, Roy, that my memory is not 2020 on this.
Maybe need Viagra.
Yeah, that might do the trick. Thank you. Rachel's in Coventry. Rachel, question or answer?
Question, please.
Carry on.
And how come when you breathe, when you exhale, say ha, like H-double-A, it comes out warm air, but when you blow or say like who, H-double-O, it's cool air?
Oh, I know this one. We're having a bit of a greatest hits today. If you've played the board game lately, then you'll be able to answer almost every question we've had today.
I bought it for my dad for Christmas last year, but I haven't played it yet, have you?
Because I know this is in there. It's like wind chill factor, so it's not necessarily cold. It's the fact that when it hits your skin,
I didn't know if it was the sort of like blowing out, you're cooling it down because of the speed.
No, it's about what happens when it hits your skin, isn't it? And it's withdrawing the warmth from your skin.
Because I've got no idea.
I'm telling you. Because it's concentrated. But why? Oh, I hate it when I nearly swore then, Rachel. It'd be all your fault. I can't quite remember because I'm not very good at this kind of stuff. It's physics, probably, is it? It's to do with the wind chill factor and the what's happening to your skin. It's what's happening to your skin more than what's coming out of your mouth.
Okay.
You're not interested, are you? In my attempts?
I am interested. I just don't quite understand that explanation, though.
No, well, that's fine. I'll put it on the board. So cool versus hot air. This is pathetic. I must have done that 20 times over the years, and there comes a point where you wonder whether Mystery Hour is just for our amusement rather than our education. If you can't remember any of the answers, thank you, Rachel. Menelik is in Woolwich. Menelik, question or answer?
Question, please, Dan.
Carry on.
So I wanted to know where the original place the term a dog is a man's friend.
It's a very bad phone line, and you've robbed me of the opportunity to make my own Viagra joke. But the question is, when did dogs become known as man's best friend?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, but that's what you're asking. When did we start calling dogs man's best friend?
Yeah, because when I think about it, in terms of animals, I would have thought it would have been horses in terms of how useful they've been to humanity.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess you don't really keep a horse as a pet, although, of course, The Banshees of Inisherin, a rather splendid film, gives an exception to that rule. But, yeah, I know dogs were working when we first domesticated them, but latterly they have largely been kept for comfort and company as opposed to the purpose that they serve. You don't have a pet horse. Don't lie to me. No one's got a pet horse. Even if you think it's a pet, you don't ride your dog around the garden, do you? In the way that you do a horse. Thank you. Why? Why is a dog? I mean, who else? Not a cat, obviously. A man might be a cat's best friend, but a cat ain't no man's best friend, that's for certain. What else would you put? Well, I mean, it's not a lot of competition, really. But where does it come from, the phrase man's best friend? I like that. 0345 606 0973. It's quite a lot to get through there. I've missed a couple of names off the list, but I'll deal with that. Keith and I will consult in the in the news bulletin. Should we go to Minnie or should we go to Amelia? What do you think? So let's get the news out of the way. Amelia Cox is here now with your news headlines.
Oh, February. What a tough month. It's probably time to cut back, right? Wrong. It's time to go bigger. It's time for Subway. Grab life with both hands like a mouth-watering, freshly made footlong. Take a big bite and lunch like you mean it. And now you can get footlong for even less. Download the Subway app and get any footlong you like for only $4.99. Subway. Eat fresh. Valid until February 20th, 2024. In-store only. Participation may vary. Extras cost more. Full T's and C's apply.
3 hour on LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060973.
It's 33 minutes after 12. What were electric eels called before we discovered electricity? Why are the numbers on a darts board arranged in the way that they are? Where does all the water in a river come from, given that the source of the river is usually a sort of little spring at the top of a hill? Why does smoke seem to follow you around when you light or stoke a bonfire, if indeed it does? That's James's assertion. How do partially sighted or blind people, particularly in America, that's the crucial element of this question, where all banknotes seem to be the same, how do they distinguish between banknotes? Why does air coming out of your mouth and directed at your hand feel cold when you purse your lips and blow, but feel warm when you open your mouth widely and say, ah? That's from Rachel. And Menelik wants to know when dogs first became known as man's best friend. There's quite a lot going on there, isn't there? Minnie is in Cranbrook. Minnie, question or answer?
Well, I've got actually an answer and a question.
No,
because
you
know the
only if you cleared it with the producer.
Oh, no, I haven't.
I know.
No, I've got a question then.
I just know
that the ancient Egyptians called...
Don't blow it, Minnie, or you will be you'll be cancelled. You'll be cancelled. If you've heard about cancelled culture, this is where it gets real. Get on with the question. Get on with the question.
Okay, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Thunder of the Nile. Okay, so DNA. Wherever we go, we leave DNA.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
So through our sweat, our... You know,
shedding
oils.
Skin.
Yes, shedding skin. Exactly. Exactly.
Sputum.
We leave DNA everywhere.
Snot.
So, exactly. Sweats,
okay.
Oils,
carry on.
Fingerprints.
Yeah.
So
enjoy your lunch, everybody.
We excrete DNA everywhere. Okay. So we go to a place, we leave our DNA there. Can someone then go to that place? And that DNA is transferred to them. They touch the same thing you've touched, or they sit on the same thing you sit, or they brush up against something that you've brushed. They've got your DNA on them. Can they then transfer it to a different place and then put it, you know, like they then touch something or brush against something there? Your DNA is in a place you've never been.
Mm.
What if a crime takes place in that place?
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean?
I do, yeah. Minnie.
Yeah.
What are you planning?
Oh, no. No, it's just
that was a perfectly natural laugh that you did there, Minnie, wasn't it? Oh, yes, that's a very innocent sounding laugh that we're
in. I'm not worried about
No. What have you done then? What have you done? It's not what are you planning? What have you done? What have you done? Go on, tell me. No one's listening.
No, it actually comes from a crime show I saw on television where someone got in trouble and they didn't do the crime, but their DNA was at the scene.
Your Honour.
And I just want to know, like, the police DNA swab, especially if it's a serious crime, and even a relative...
Yeah, of course you can. Of course you can.
Yes. Yeah, even a relative that has been...
I can pick up a hair. I mean, just think of a hair. I can pick up one of your hairs and drop it at the scene of the crime that where I've murdered someone.
No, I'm talking, like, not an object...
No, hair, I know. You're just talking about a smaller thing than a hair. Anything that contains your DNA is mobile and portable.
Well, how long does it last?
Well, that's not what you asked. Also, what are you planning?
I'm not planning anything.
Why do you
anything?
Need to know how long it lasts?
It's a worry.
Yeah, you're telling me it's a worry. We might have to keep a record of this call for Special Branch.
No, I'm not planning any crime. I'm just saying I have a thing about it. I think is my DNA somewhere?
Yes, yes, definitely. I have read more crime fiction than you have. I don't really watch the true crime stuff on the telly, but yes, definitely. If you think of a little piece of skin or a bit of saliva or whatever it is, just think of it as if you'd thought of a hair before you rang in, you probably wouldn't have rung in, would you? Because a hair so obviously can be transferred from one place to the other.
Obviously, but after a while that hair is going to...
No. That's your second not allowed bit of the question. You didn't ask about it wearing off.
I'm talking about fingerprints and DNA.
Yeah, I know. Hair DNA. Is DNA. It's the DNA in the hair that would allow them to... Yes, I know, but it's the same. Like it's the same.
Right.
There is DNA in your hair that they would use to establish that you had been somewhere, but they can't establish it conclusively because your hair could have stuck to someone's coat. So that's how, I mean, they also find, well, look, the obvious answer to your question, actually, which I should have realised sooner, is how the heck do you think they catch people for murders 30 years after they happened? Answer, because they find DNA on the clothes that matches the murderer, even though it's now in a lab and has been for 30 years. So the DNA has moved from the crime scene to the lab. See?
That has to be meticulously kept.
Yes, all of that, but it's still... Your question was, is it mobile? And the answer is yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Round of applause for me. In fact, two, because that was like pulling teeth, which also can be moved from the scene of a crime to elsewhere quite easily. Andy's in Tunbridge. Andy, question or answer?
Afternoon, James. The answer to your questions about rivers and contribution of the water that gets into it.
Yes.
So there's kind of two elements to this, really. One is the contribution of groundwater, and one is the contribution of the broader catchment. So on the groundwater side of things, certainly in southeast England, you have permeable rocks like chalk. Chalk is a really important element in this because it is a source of where water is held, and it can be kept there for months through the summer. So then at the spring line at the impermeable rocks, the water then starts being emitted back into the river system all through the year. That's a slightly different in the case of, say, the Lake District, where you've got impermeable rocks, but the sheer amount of water that you get because of the high rainfall totals means that there's always water contributing to those catchments anyway, and you've got glacial deposits which help to kind of keep the lakes themselves in place. So that's part of it. That's called the base flow element of our river systems. Obviously, in summer months when it becomes very dry, you do sometimes see rivers starting to dry out.
You do.
So the other element of this is the broader catchment itself. So even something like the Thames isn't just one river watercourse. There are hundreds, potentially, of other smaller tributaries, which...
Like the Brent and the Fleet.
Yes.
And the Tyburn, is the Tyburn a river?
I think so. Yeah. The Kennet, the Colne, the...
All of that.
So they all contribute to the broader Thames catchment.
Yeah.
So when you get heavy rain, which usually falls on the higher ground, you tend to find all those small contributing rivers all then coalesce to form a much bigger river in the centre, which then runs out towards the sea.
And that's the water cycle. So, as you say, the rain. So, the major answer is it comes from the sky, and some of it comes from the ground. But the stuff in the ground was once in the sky.
Yeah, and it's held up in soil as well. So,
it's all good. You've done it. I mean, it was. I felt we were quite generous allowing Simon's question to stand because the source of his confusion seemed to be more of a him thing than a we thing, didn't it? But what remind us of your qualifications, Andy?
I work for the Environment Agency. I'm actually on duty at the moment as a flood warning duty officer.
Well, what happens if there's a bloody flood and you're on the bloody radio?
I know. I'm probably going to be issuing flood alerts later today, actually.
Really? Whereabouts? Don't tell us. You might get into trouble. What if there's not a flood?
No, it's fine. I cover the Mole in South London, actually.
And you think there's going to be a flood?
No, not warning. So,
well, mate, your floody mind up.
just to look to what we call alerts is the lower level of message that we send out when we expect our bank flow.
Well, good luck. Keep them peeled.
Property flooding.
Keep them peeled.
Thank you.
Round of applause for Andy, please.
Thanks, James.
Thank you, Andy. Mystery Hour veteran there. We should have a Premier League of Mystery Hour contributors, shouldn't we? Andy would be very much in it. Ruth's in Toronto. Ruth, question or answer?
It's an answer, sir. Good to talk to you.
Likewise.
I am blind, so that's my qualification, but there's a lot of blind people, so I don't get a radiola. the money in the United States is not only all the same size, but it's all the same color. So if a person with visual impairment could see color, that doesn't help them either, whereas in Canada, our money is all the same size, but it's a different color. And we have Braille on our money, which the American blind people lament because they do not. So here, what they sometimes do is they'll fold the money in a certain way, the ones or the fives or the tens, in certain ways to keep it in their pocket so they know what's what.
Yeah.
But in order to, but then you have to trust the person who's given it to you to tell you that they are honest in what they're giving you. Now, there is a little machine that they can get, which is slightly bigger than a dollar bill and about an inch thick, and they can put it in, and it will push a button, and it'll identify the money. And believe it or not, that machine is made by the Canadian government for the American money system. And then the other thing, though, which is much handier now, is there's apps on the phone. There's an app called Be My Eyes, which every visually impaired blind person should have, because it does a lot more than that. And so there's different apps, but it's rather cumbersome and unpleasant to have to be pulling your phone out and checking every bill when you're standing at the cash in the
supermarket. But better than being ripped off or handing over $100 for a 90 cent purchase and getting 10 cents back.
Absolutely for certain, but that's the answer.
Ruth, that is perfect. And you've already established your credentials, so please accept.
Yes, I have logged 60 years of being blind.
Well, there you go. A round of applause at least for Ruth.
Thank you.
Thank you,
sir.
Hey, take care. We'll talk again, I hope. 12, coming up to 12:45. I'll squeeze in one more. John's in. I got to tell you, judging by my inbox, which I can't consult on air, I can't read it out because it's not allowed. I think James's question about the smoke was a good question, actually. I hope we have time for an answer. John's in Newry in Northern Ireland. John, question or answer?
Question, James.
Yes.
The question is, it sounds a bit callous compared to when your man's talking about dogs.
Go on.
A man's best friend. But anyway, when you get a mad dog, right, and he attacks somebody, and the police come and shoot him or whatever, why do they always say the dog was destroyed?
And not killed.
Yeah.
The dog was killed at the scene.
Yeah, if you drop paint over, gloss paint over a wedding dress, it's destroyed, or you fire a missile at a building, it's destroyed.
Why did destroy a dog at the scene? The dogs were destroyed at the scene. You're absolutely right. I've no idea.
They always seem to use it in connection with dogs. You know, if a polar bear attacked somebody, some scientist or something, to shoot it, right?
Yeah.
But a dog...
Well, we don't know that, John. Seriously, I think if a lion escaped from a zoo and then got... I think they might say on the news the lion was destroyed.
Would they?
I don't know.
Heard that.
No, nor have I. But when's the last time you heard of a lion escaping from the zoo?
Thankfully, never.
Let's not tempt fate, eh? There's enough bad stuff in the world going on without us accidentally jinxing an escaped lion. Okay, I like it. I may be too late in the day, but if anybody listening knows the answer, in fact, I think we could probably remove all questions now from the board, focus exclusively on answers and try and rattle through what remains in the time that is left to us. You are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. It is 12:46.
Like some kind of pizza ninja, Domino's are slicing their prices. Domino's Price Slice. Small pizzas now £8, medium now £10, and large now £12. Yep, we're making cuts too. Domino! End 11th of February 24. Minimum delivery spend, charges and areas may apply. T's and C's, see domino's.co.uk.
Much like you, I've got a lot to complain about. Like open-toe sandals. Who thought that was a good idea? Who wants to look at toes? Adults who drink squash. Listen, you're a fully grown person. But I just got my Sky broadband and I've got no complaints.
Once again, Sky had the lowest number of complaints made to Ofcom for fixed line broadband. To find out more, visit ofcom.org.uk. We're happy because you're happy.
Oh, hang on though. Noisy eaters. They're annoying.
Sky. Believe in better.
Mystery. Much like you, I've got a lot to complain about. Like open-toe sandals. Who thought that was a good idea? Who wants to look at toes? Adults who drink squash. Listen, you're a fully grown person. But I just got my Sky broadband and I've got no complaints.
Once again, Sky had the lowest number of complaints made to Ofcom for fixed line broadband. To find out more, visit ofcom.org.uk. We're happy because you're happy.
Oh, hang on, though. Noisy eaters. They're annoying.
Sky. Believe in better.
With James O'Brien. This is LBC.
It is 12:49. Lots of answers coming in via text. I do wish I could share them with you, but I can't. Them's the rules. Yarrick is in Orpington. Yarrick, question or answer?
It's answered, James. First of all, very nice to be on your show. I love your programmes.
You're very kind. Well, lovely thing to say. Let's go.
It's true. So regarding the air, if you blow the air through your purse lips, you're increasing its speed, velocity, yeah. And in that way you're decreasing its temperature felt on the hands. There are physics laws regarding the gas flow. When you're blowing through your open mouth, you're then blowing the air at much, much lower speed, and the air comes out from your lungs, which is heated up by circulating blood in there. And because your extremities, your hands, your feet are on average slightly colder than the inside of your body, then you perceive the temperature which is coming from within your body as slightly warmer. So that's why we are blowing on our hands through the open mouth when we want to warm up.
It's got nothing to do with taking the heat out of your hand.
No.
Are you sure?
It's to do with the temperature of the air. One time it's decreased by the quick flow through the pursed lips, and then on the other time when you open through your mouth.
Okay, well, hang on. What are your qualifications?
I'm emergency medicine doctor, so human physiology.
No, I'm not arguing with you about this.
I'm not.
I never argue unless it's absolutely necessary, Eric. You know this. Sometimes I don't even argue when it is. I shall give you a round of applause. There we go. For Yarrick, please.
Thank you kindly.
Thank you kindly. And we'll speak again. I look forward to it. Steve's in Chester. Steve, question or answer?
It's answer, James. About bonfires.
Yes.
Right. So if you think about a bonfire in the middle of a field with nothing around it on a perfectly still day, as it burns, it's drawing in cold air at the bottom. It's heating stuff up and the products of combustion are going up vertically because of warm air rising. If you're going to stand near it, imagine the circle pointing inwards of all air coming from every direction. You're now interfering with a portion of that and you're creating a vortex.
You're an air dam.
The vortices being created.
You're an air dam.
Yeah, exactly that. So in perfectly still air, it does happen. Yeah.
So you would actually, the smoke would direct towards you.
The smoke, it'll
follow
you. Yeah, you're going to stand somewhere else, it'll go, hang on a minute, and it will follow you.
See, I said to James, imagine if this turns out to be scientifically interesting, you are going to feel fantastic. And there he is. There he is right now, thanks to you, feeling fantastic, Steve. So if you do nothing else of value today, you've done that.
Okay.
You've given that gift. Good. Qualifications?
Thursday's, two qualifications. One, I asked my dad this at bonfire night about 1978.
Love it.
And he puzzled and he went, I'm going to work this out. And he sat down with a piece of paper and worked it out.
Fantastic.
And I asked my physics teacher a couple of years later. And then about 3 years ago, I was going offshore and you have to do some safety training, part of which is firefighting. And the fireman, I asked him the same question. He goes, yeah, and confirmed it. And he was a fireman, James.
So you've triple checked it.
I've triple checked it.
That's possibly the most extraordinary collection of qualifications we've ever had on Mystery Hour. I'll tell you what, the youth of today don't go into that sort of detail. Have a round of applause, Steve. Beautifully played.
Thank you very much.
Beautifully played. Emma's in Ipswich. Emma, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on.
Can I just say I'm having a little bit of a moment? I phoned up presenters. I can't believe I'm speaking to my hero.
Hello, James.
I'm a bit nervous.
Oh, it's only me.
It's only you. It's the darts. Yes. Answer to the dartboard.
Yes.
Brian Gamlin in the 1890s came up with the configuration of the numbers.
Are you sure it wasn't the Earl of Dartmouth?
No, darling. No.
Okay.
He did the errors here.
Just checking. Ryan Gamlin.
Yep, in the 1890s.
Sounds like quite a modern. I didn't think they had people called Ryan in the 19th century.
No, Brian.
Brian. Brian. Okay, go on. 1890s. Brian Gamlin.
Yeah, 1890s. He came up with it, and I think there's over 2 million other configurations that you could come up with, but his, just from the way he did it, ended up being the best. It's to increase accuracy. So you can't get a lucky shot.
Yes.
So you can't just fluke a win. So it is to increase accuracy.
If you miss a high number by a bit, you'll hit a low number. And if you miss a low number by a bit, you'll hit a high number. But do we know the actual calculation? So the 1 is next to the 20, but the 2 is not next to the 19, for example.
No, he just came up with it. And there are so many other ways, like I said, that people have come up with. There's over two million other configurations it could be. But his just has worked the best. But he died before he could patent it.
Oh, how terrible.
No.
Could you patent that?
In 1903.
Yeah, you probably could patent. Qualifications?
It was a chat with, I was in a village pub. It was Christmas. You know, it's a lot of football, a lot of darts, sitting there with my dog.
And it came up.
The chaps were talking to the dogs, and it came up. Drinky poos conversation.
Round of applause for Emma, please.
Thank you.
Beautifully done. Alex is in Hornchurch. Question or answer, Alex?
I've got an answer, and I'm really excited because this is going to be my fifth clap. I've had three answer and one for a question.
Let's not count any chickens before they hatch. Go on.
Okay, then. So the answer for the dogs being destroyed is because dogs are classed as chattel. And a chattel is, looking at Google, is an intangible personal property. So you're not going to say a dog was killed legally because it's classed as chattel. So that's why they say destroyed, because a dog is chattel. And you're going to ask me my qualifications for this?
I am. What are your qualifications for this?
Because I had the very first ever dog custody battle, which I know you referred to back in 2006 when I was listening to your show once before. And when I took my ex to court and they were talking about it, that's when I found out that a dog is classed as chattel. So that's why I think... That's why they don't say it was killed in legal terms, because a dog isn't classed as a...
Dating back to the times when a dog would be of value because of the service it provided to the owner rather than the company and the comfort.
So that's why I think they don't call it killed. I personally would say that dogs were killed because, you know, I love dogs. But that's why they say
people are killed, animals are destroyed, but the dogs are destroyed because they're... I like that qualification. Whether or not it's relevant to the answer you've provided or not doesn't really matter.
Do I get my clap?
I think you do, yeah.
Yay!
Look at that. Five and counting. Take care, Alex. 12:56 is the time. Peter is in Twickenham. Peter, question or answer?
It's an answer.
I've done this one.
You sort of have.
Go on then. Peter Kirkham is a proper copper, or was a proper copper. How many proper coppers can a proper copper cop if a proper copper could cop coppers? Carry on, Peter.
Yeah, you're right. DNA is mobile, and when we leave DNA at a scene, it's in the cells of our body, so the hair is in the follicle at the end of the hair,
yep.
Or it's skin cells or whatever, or in blood or any other fluid. And yes, it can be moved around, and that is a real problem for proper coppers because there's sort of degrees of contamination with different issues. The first is that somebody brings DNA into the scene, their own DNA, by walking through the scene after it's happened.
Yeah, exactly. It's why you have to put on your special shoes like you're at the swimming pool.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly right. All of that clothing and overshoes and the packaging of things and gloves... They're all important to avoid contamination.
Perfect. So qualifications?
That can distract the inquiry, but even worse, is secondary, you can move stuff around within a scene.
Because it lands on you, it sticks to you, and you take it somewhere else unwittingly.
Exactly, and you put it down onto another item, and even worse still...
Defence lawyer's dream, mate. Defence lawyer's dream.
Somebody else's DNA. You sort of spit on the pavement, someone walks through it, and next thing, your DNA has been walked into the murder scene of the house next door.
It's not as easy as
it
looks.
So it's really, really difficult.
Qualifications?
Used to be an SIO, senior investigating officer, and I got a degree in chemistry and biochemistry.
Come here a minute. Did Minnie sound a bit dodgy to you when she asked that question?
She did. I've got another name, and I've recorded the call.
Thank you very much. Round of applause for Peter, please. I'm warning you, Minnie. Whatever you've got planned, think again. You've got Peter Kirkham on your case. Last word, Richard is in Brefrier, in France. Question or answer in three words?
Answer.
Go on.
Electric eels.
Yep.
Yeah, there's several types. They were all called knife fish back in the day.
Well done. Qualifications?
You know, 300-400 years ago.
Qualifications, we're out of time.
Qualifications, I was given a book on the subject to read as a punishment.
That'll do. Round of applause. There we go. Well played. Fantastic work. That's it for another week. If you've missed that, I'm giving the box of games, the box of joy and delights to Andy, the Environment Agency. who I thought already had one, but apparently doesn't. And he's provided us with so much illumination over the years. Are you all right there, Sheil? Is everything okay? You know, there's a, LBC, all of that app, pause, rewind, download, free, globalplayer.com. For LBC, Swarbrick, now Sheila Fogarty.
Oh, February. What a tough month. It's probably time to cut back, right? Wrong. It's time to go bigger. It's time for Subway. Grab life with both hands like a mouth-watering, freshly made footlong. Take a big bite and lunch like you mean it. And now you can get a footlong for even less. Download the Subway app and get any footlong you like for only $4.99. Subway. Eat fresh. Valid until February 20th, 2024. In-store only. Participation may vary. Extras cost more. Full T's and C's apply.